friends. Welcome to the Walking with Kelly and Christy podcast. I'm Kelly.
And I'm Christy. We are two sisters who love Jesus, and we are committed to walking out our faith one step at a time.
This season, we will be talking about walking with the past, but pressing on towards freedom in Christ. We are so glad you've joined us again for the Walking with Kelly and Christy podcast. And in this season, we are just continuing to look back at our past to see how God has worked and moved, some of the struggles, some of the pain we've walked through, but God wastes nothing. And all of that can be used for His glory as we seek Him. We love Him. We trust Him. And so we're so excited to have a very special guest with us today, Adriana. Yay. Our producer is going to share with us about her past and about how your past has helped you press into what God has for you right now. And we get to see that, watch that week by week, and such a blessing to us.
Yes. And I just wanted to say, Adriana, you're here with us every week, and our listeners might not hear your voice, but I am so glad just that God has put you at our table, in our circle of friendship, connection. Like, it has been a joy over the last couple months to see God work in and through your life, just kind of up close and personal. And, you know, I think even our own girls, Kelly.
Yes.
You know, they are very patient with us when it comes to all things social media and learning new things. But you have kind of been like a daughter in this season to us. And we know that you have been so patient with us and so gracious with us. And so we just want to publicly say we love you. And we are so thankful for you in our life.
Wow. Yeah. And it's interesting. We just recorded Charles's episode a few weeks-ish ago, and his testimony is very similar to me. I was a little bit younger, and you guys coming in and out of the church, and just to see your story develop. And, you know, when you're so young, you don't really think about the leaders too much, but God has blessed me by putting back in my life prominent leaders, not just to look at, but then to interact with. And we've had conversations to the point of y'all have come into the studio, and I was like, I've just word vomited all these. I was like, this is just what happened, and da 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 da. And you guys go, okay, let's pray. to walk with you as I know you guys are walking with the Lord and currently going through struggles, but also to be doing this project or going through and sharing testimony together. You're not just now these icons that are separate from me. We are now in this journey together as sisters in Christ, which is incredible to know that God works in that way. I could have never guessed it. I could have never guessed to be here.
Either.
And here we are. And so I just appreciate to be able to share this ministry with you. It is so important to me that everything I do with the time and skill that God has given me is to share His word and share His gospel. And you guys have really allowed me to do that in the place of my passion, which is media and stuff. I mean, I would be doing it anyway, but this way I get to actually use my fun toys as well.
Oh, yeah. Awesome. Well, Adriana, I was just thinking and praying last night of what God might want me to speak over you, encourage you. And I even said, God, I'm not getting up until you tell me what you want to say about Adriana. And He just kind of spoke to me and pressed upon me that you are a warrior on the waves.
Thank you.
And not the beach waves, but you're a warrior on the sound waves, on the airwaves. And we've watched 27 weeks.
Yeah.
Of you living out your passion of this podcast, your position at church is all about sharing the gospel. And you're not going to do something unless it fits into that criteria. And just watching over these weeks what God is doing, what you're passionate about, it's amazing. I think you told us at the beginning, like, you started out in production in the background.
Yeah.
You wanted nobody to see you, nobody to hear you. You just wanted to be in the background to do your job.
Yeah.
What a beautiful testimony of God taking your gift that you didn't want anybody to see. And now every week, not just our podcast, but you and Charles have a podcast. You're leading the media ministry at Old Fort Baptist. And I just think God has blessed you in your calling.
I feel incredibly blessed. I think that's the right word. I could not have made any of this happen. Yeah. And even, we'll get to my testimony, even when I was trying to make things happen in my own power, they were not good for me. They were not healthy things for me. I was very successful at doing non-eternal things. Mm. And God was really saying, do something that matters.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, wrapping a cable had an eternal value.
Mm, that's good.
Because I could teach someone how to take care of what God has given to them, or I could be responsible and steward well the resources that here at this church. All of a sudden, every minor thing had major value. And then the real big things, like the people you talk to, then had just, I mean, if wrapping a cable is important, then how much is talking to someone and asking them how their day was, or making sure that if they come into the booth, that they are greeted with a smile and a prayer and understanding, I know this is hard, but you are doing the work that God has called you to do.
Yeah. Oh, that's awesome.
And I know walking in your calling comes with struggle.
It certainly does.
And so that's kind of our season right now, is we see you walking in what God is calling you to. We see you walking and pressing into freedom in Christ. But we know that has come through some pain and struggle. And so we're hoping you can just share some of that struggle that's led you to continue to press on.
Part of my testimony really starts at, I was raised in a Christian home. I was raised in a Christian home, and I knew all the things that I was supposed to do. And then I also knew all the things I was passionate about. And at some point, I was discipled more by the world than I was by the people of God. And so my passions outweighed the truth that I had been raised to know. And as I was going through, specifically, I was in the theater world, and I was working, and I was working all the way up to as a resident stage manager at a theater in downtown Charleston at 11th grade. I would walk into a room where every decision was my responsibility. There was real stakes, and people applauded me. I was really good at what I did, and I took major value on the things that I could output, the things that I could do. And it became my identity, being good at my job. Well, when you start putting your identity in the value of your output, then things start becoming, they're not good enough. I could have gotten a million praise, but one negative comment by someone who doesn't even matter would stick with me throughout the day and throughout the week. And it became something that nothing I did was good enough if it wasn't absolutely perfect. And something we know, there is no such thing as perfection in this life. Well, God allowed me to sit in that, steep in that, And I was not being faithful to the time and talent that he had given me. I've been using it for my own gain. Up until the point that God gave me an opportunity to travel internationally for missions, and I was even doing that for self-gain, because who doesn't want to travel internationally? I got an opportunity to go to Africa. I mean, how many people get to visit the continent of Africa and the country of Tanzania? I was like, absolutely sign me up. But that was, again, for that self-gain. I was thinking inwardly. I was not thinking outwardly or eternally. But God had a different plan. And so he just changed my life, changed my identity, and revealed to me the value he had created from the beginning, that he had already given me value. I did not have to earn that value in any way. That moment that God said, you are my child, you have to serve me. Stop serving the world, stop serving yourself. He completely changed my identity. My even passions and goal, I switched from theater to film, which doesn't seem like maybe a too big of a switch, but that meant everything I knew, I had to relearn for a different context. I had to go to school for it, and still thinking, okay, God, how can I use this for your purpose? My new identity in Christ and the value he had placed on me, I will never stop saying how amazing God is when he gave me my new identity. However, the sins of my past was still becoming something that I had to deal with. This time, I was dealing with specifically self-harm, something that I had been going through since about 11 years old. Up until this point, I thought, you know, now I'm a Christian. I'll never have to deal with depression. I'll never have to deal with self-harm again. However, that sin, we know from Genesis that sin creates death, and that death had been in my life, festering for years, many years now. And God surrounded me with his people, with his word, and with his truth. And that step by step, little by little, God is making me understand that my value is not in the things I do or don't do, and that the things that I used to cope with in terms of like self-harm was discipline, or it was, it's the thing that I earned. I earned pain because I failed. And looking through what I earned through a biblical lens showed me that sin was a part of my life. I did deserve the entire wrath of God, but that's not my identity anymore. I have a new identity in Christ, which, again, undeserving of me, but God came to this earth, died for my sins, so that I would never have to experience the pain of what sin would cause in my life. And so as I was going through just the years of depression and self-harm, God put me in his church with his people and his word. And there was specifically, there was a word in his Bible within, you find in Luke chapter 8, of the woman with the bleeding problem. And so you have a woman who has been suffering for bleeding for years. She's unnamed. So I just put my name right there. And she just approaches Jesus just for the tassels. So before I came to know Christ as my Lord and Savior, I just wanted the fringe. Just wanted the good things or whatever, but I was still suffering from a bleeding problem. And when I interacted with Jesus, he says, you know, there's power that's left my body. She comes instantly healed, because that's the presence of Jesus changes your life. He turns to her and she just wanted the tassels, but he calls her daughter. He gave her a new identity along with her healing. And he says, your faith has made you well. And I'm reading this and I'm just weeping and I'm realizing that I am this woman with a bleeding problem. And I just wanted the fringes of what Jesus had to have, but he has given me new life, new identity. And while I still struggle with these things, I struggle them now as a daughter of Christ who has his word, who has his presence, and who has his people to rely on.
That is so good, Adriana. And I love that story as well. But there's another part of that story that I absolutely love, because Jesus knew who had reached out and touched her had touched just the hem of his robe. Mm-hmm. Like, he knew who it was. He knew that power had left him the second that she had the faith to reach out. But he did ask something of her. because he wanted
Identify yourself.
Yes, identify yourself. Maybe you're going to get to that, but I just am like just kind of hanging on to that because I know that story and I love that story. But please, if there was something else you were going to share about that, I love that.
No, I always just think about the book of Luke in general is written by Luke, who is a physician. And I love Luke because he gets into the details of it. But even though he goes into the details, you don't get to know her name. And I always thought that was fascinating. There are some people we don't get to know the name. Some people would say, oh, that was Mark. That was that guy. But knowing as a daughter in Christ that this is just a woman who was unclean, ceremonial unclean. I mean, she couldn't be in the temple. She couldn't be in the presence of God. She couldn't be in the presence of people. She was most likely unmarried. So this is someone who we're talking the lowest of the lows. And in the times that I would engage in self-harm, that's what I felt like, the lowest of the low. I either felt that I could not produce things, I could not create good things, and I felt low, or chemically there was something wrong. And my feelings, my emotions were giving me a word that was worthless and not valuable. And why are you even here? Honestly, you're just taking up space. And so we have this woman who's the lowest of the low. And yeah, God asks her to say, you know, stand up, identify yourself in my presence. Because when you do that, I give you the identity. Absolutely. I love that story.
Well, we're going to take a break. And when we get back, we just would love to continue with this conversation and just let you share with our listeners some encouragement about how you got through that part of your testimony and that season. Welcome back. And Adriana, we are so thankful that you're here sharing from the table with us to our listeners. And I know our listeners are starting to feel like they know you well, too. Back in the episode where you shared about climbing Mount Kilimanjaro, there was something that you said that has stuck with me for weeks now. And you said, when you were stepping, it was one step at a time, you felt like it was, you know, just even the guide was telling you, step where I step. And that's exactly what the Lord asks of us as well. Just step where I step. He talks about a lamp just being the light to the path, one step at a time. And I just thank you for being vulnerable enough to share your hard struggle season with us and our listeners. But we know, again, but God has been so faithful, and there's more to the story. And so we just invite you to continue to share how your faith has been strengthened through such a difficult season.
Absolutely. And in conversation of next step, you know, you have a testimony, you have a time that God has brought you out of, either your faith testimony or even as God is walking through you, he is pulling things and revealing, hey, this needs to be fixed. So we have this testimony. Well, what's the next thing we do with it? Is we share it.
Right.
Now, growing up Southern Baptist, there are things like prayer requests that end up being gossip circles. And so I'm going through this testimony, even on the other side of it. God has healed me. God has revealed that his power is greater than my times of depression or my engagement with self-harm, that God is bigger. But I really don't want to share that story because it's a dirty story.
Right,
or you really reveal that you're so broken, and all of a sudden everybody is like, oh my goodness, should she even be working at the church? Right. Should she even be someone who witnesses to people? All the time, we need to realize that God has given his gospel to broken people.
Right. That's right.
Throughout the Bible, we see that these people that really should not be in charge, God says, I'm going to use you.
Yeah.
Moses even fought. He was like, no, I'm bad at this, 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 and this. And God said, yeah, I'm going to use you. It is through my power that you're going to go forward. So understanding that God's next step for me was to share my testimony, I began praying about what does that look like. It's a very sad story, you know, even going into details, but it's a very uncomfortable story. People shy away from conversations of suicide and self-harm because no one wants to think about that life can get so bad, even as a believer, that these are the thoughts that creep up.
But Adriana, there are people listening that might be struggling with that.
Absolutely. And as I was working with students, I realized that I had students here at the church or outside of the church that I was working with that were struggling with the same things. And if I was not being obedient to God, then that testimony was going to be wasted.
Right.
So through prayer and through the, again, the disappointment or the shock of my very Southern Baptist family, I decided to get a half sleeve tattoo on my right arm.
I love it.
And I just need to preface this, and I say to my student, this, what I'm about to say does not mean, yes, go get tattooed right now.
Right.
But what I understood was I needed something. I needed something that people saw that I could then lead them to the conversation. Because on my left side, you will actually, if you ever wear short sleeves, you'll see some pretty massive scars. And what was happening is people would come up to me like, what's that scar about? And I would panic. And I would say, oh, it's nothing. Or I would say, yep, the bear attack, or you should, right. You should see the other guy. And I just moved away from that testimony. But having a piece of artwork that people could look at and say, what is that? I could then start the conversation of where God has taken me. And specifically, I got this tattoo 5 years of no self-harm.
Wow.
So being able to say something like, oh, I invested in this after 5 years with absolutely no self-harm because God has taken me through with his word and with his people.
Awesome.
Somehow that conversation does not fill me with dread. When we start with the scars on my body, I get a little nervous, but God has allowed that to move in a way that I can lead people back to him. I've now been able to tell the gospel to complete and total strangers, because something that I have especially learned now is with such a big piece of artwork, but also with people in the world, they're like, oh, nice tattoo. I'm like, great. Can I tell you about why I have it? And I engage in conversations. So again, preface, this does not mean go and get a tattoo. Pray through it. Read scripture. Know what God is calling you to. But I also understand that I needed something. Like you said, I am a person of the shadows. I really don't want to engage in a lot of conversation, but I had to be faithful to that next step of your testimony has a value and it needs to be shared. Like, it is God's story.
It's God's
your
story.
Life.
Yeah.
Be willing to share it. Just as we are sharing scripture, God has something in your life that you need to share with someone, and being praying over what that looks like is just the next step to obedience.
One of our last questions for you would just be, so what encouragement? Kelly's already said it. We know that there are listeners. There are listeners that have family members that are going through difficult seasons. So what encouragement would you give to them if they find themselves in a difficult season today?
Always God's word. Like I said, it was Luke chapter 8, that the woman with a bleeding problem, that really just altered my thinking about who I was and my identity. And then God's people. God surrounded me with people, and I leaned into that. There is an element of, you know, we might say like, oh, I don't know anyone at my church. Have you ever talked to someone at your church? Have you started being involved in a small group? Like, God has people for you. Engage with them. And then when they start revealing some truth, assess it through God's word. And be obedient to that correction, but also that fellowship. And God also used his wisdom through other people. And I found some unlikely wisdom from an 18th century poet. So God has people throughout our lives in this time, but also throughout the time of history. And in doing research on one of my favorite hymns is There is a Fountain Filled with Blood. Now that feels a little on the nose, but I had to go through a season of understanding that my blood is not the solution to my sins. Actually, it's not enough. And it is the thing that is killing me if I'm trying to find a way to solve my own problems. I don't have it. There's nothing in my life that could fulfill the gap of sin that separated me from God. But he came himself on earth and became that sacrifice for me. And so I love this hymn, and I kind of did some research on the author of the poet. William Cowper was a poet in the 18th century that struggled with depression and attempted suicide. And I'm looking at this guy that I have never known in my life. I'll never know. And I'm realizing, wow, we are struggling from the same things. We have both attempted the same things. We have both gone through series of depression. And in his lowest point, someone brought him in and shared the gospel. He became a believer and then wrote many hymns. As an adult, he came to know the Lord, and he still, like I said, he knew the Lord, and the same as my testimony, but that sin was still present, so he still felt it. And there was seasons with the Lord that he had depression, even after he was a believer. But you read his writings, and you know who is his God in his hymns and his poetry after. I just want to read some of the lines from the hymn. So you got, there is a fountain filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's veins, and sinners plunge beneath that flood, lose all their guilty stains. That line, that stanza, is something I repeated, because I was stained. I was stained by choice. I was stained from birth. And that's reminding that the sinners, like we all are, who interact with the sacrifice of Jesus, lose all their guilty stains. And later on down, there's a stanza that says, the dying thief rejoiced to see that fount in his day. The thief on the cross knew he was a thief. He knew he was a sinner. He knew he was guilty. He was paying the price for his own guilt. But it was not enough to take him to paradise. In fact, it was looking to Jesus and saying, you are the Messiah. Admitting that was the sacrifice needed to take him to paradise. So it says, the dying thief rejoiced to see that fountain in his day, and there have I, as vile as he, washed all my sins away. I'm just as guilty as a thief on the cross. But admitting that Jesus is the salvation is the only thing that has saved my life today and for eternity. So I would just encourage with knowing God's word, knowing God's people, and knowing the people throughout history, either in your life, that are also believers, and asking the question of, well, what did they struggle with? And just to know that someone in the 18th century has struggled with the exact same things that I have, and the solution was Jesus, was incredibly powerful. And it really connects the family of God, the church, the bride, throughout time and history, that God has been revealing himself through struggle forever.
And I think I just would like to add to that, that counseling would be a great resource. If you find yourself in a season of depression or self-harm or suicidal thoughts, like, there's help.
Yeah, and it should be said, I forgot to mention this, when God surrounded me with his people's advice was to seek counseling. I fought it for years, then submitted to God's authority of someone who knew better than I, started counseling, and really was able to see where those pitfalls were, and I was able to receive tools, and God allowed someone who has education that is different and advanced from me to help me through. And I still use those tools to this day.
Right.
Yeah, absolutely. And one of those things I tell our students, like, your best friend is not your therapist, because your best friend does not have the tools and the wisdom to guide you through seasons. Best friends are awesome. God's people are amazing. They are for community. But there are those that God has given gifts to and strength and education. And absolutely, I advocate for counseling.
Yeah. So we'll put some links in our show notes for this week, just some local counselors, maybe a hotline for anybody finds himself in that spot.
And thank you, Adriana, again, for just being vulnerable. Yeah. You know, maybe we all don't relate to your personal testimony, but what I have heard you talking about is just whether it's whatever we use to self-soothe or, you know, fill a void that only God can fill. Like, that's what we relate to when, and we all can relate to those negative thoughts that have come into our mind. And we're learning that part of this process of healing and wholeness and true freedom in Christ is knowing what God says about us, not what the enemy tries to distract us with, because those were just distracted thoughts that, you know, the and non-eternal things. I love that you talked about the things that you were focused on were temporal things. And when we start to focus on eternal things, why God has given us the passions and the desires and the gifts that he's given us, then we can turn those around and use them for his glory and for his kingdom. And when we say his kingdom, we mean eternal blessings and eternal glory that, you know, we are not going to have to struggle with some of the things that people are struggling with temporally. So I just wanted to read some scripture, Luke 23, 34 through 43. And we like to leave our listeners with something every week. And so I'm just going to start by reading these scriptures. And it says, Jesus said, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing. And they divided up his clothes by casting lots. The people stood watching, and the rulers even sneered at him. They said, he saved others. Let him save himself if he is the Christ of God, the chosen one. The soldiers also came up and mocked him. They offered him wine vinegar and said, if you are the king of the Jews, save yourself. There was a written notice above him which read, this is the king of the Jews. And one of the criminals who hung there hurled insults at him. Aren't you the Christ? Save yourself and us. But the other criminal rebuked him. Don't you fear God, he said, since you are under the same sentence? We are punished justly, for we are getting what our deeds deserve. But this man has done nothing wrong. Then he said, Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. And Jesus answered him, I tell you the truth. Today you will be with me in paradise. And thank you for sharing that picture. And just going to leave you with those scriptures today. Yeah. So until next time, keep walking.
Rooted Studio.